Turn with me to the book of Revelation and pray with me. I am overcoming, I don't know what you call it, but it's not that bad thing. But it's bad enough. It's caused me to have a tickle in my throat, and my head feels like it's exploding. But it's been there for a while, but it's going to be okay. If you would, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 17. And I'm going to begin a word right there. If Genesis is the book of beginnings, Revelation is surely the book of endings. Father, thank you for your word. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, help us, God, to understand and to embrace your word tonight, what your direction that you're trying to take us in. And everyone said amen. In Revelation 2:17, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Amen. And my thought this evening and the direction that I'm taking you this evening is the hidden manna. Now that concept and that doctrine is all through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Hidden manna. The hidden manna is the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The hidden manna is about overcoming and making a great clarity of what's being said in the book of Matthew chapter 4. Jesus said this, man will not live on bread alone. Man, I preach this a lot because it's a very important thought for right now, direction for right now. Man's contentment and success in this life has nothing to do with having enough food, having the right job, finances, having a great measure of health. All those things are wonderful. We love those things. But in order for a person to be right inside of them, you know, I wondered many years as a young person, Freddie Prinze was a gifted actor. Chico and the Man was a weekly program. He took his life. I said, Father in heaven, why would a fellow that has everything take his life? And what I received was this here. Sometimes what seems to be everything really isn't anything. The word says this, having food and clothing, let us therewith be content. Okay? Now some people the Lord blesses with a little more. Some people they bless themselves with a little more. And they do things that are inappropriate in the spirit world. But man's happiness, his peace, comes from the word. Man does not live by bread alone. Your bread is everything that this world can give you that doesn't have anything to do with your spirituality. Man is a spirit made in the image of God. We have a body right now that is passing away. And we will live forever. Every human being will, because we were made in the image of likeness of God. And what that is God is an eternal spirit. And he makes us eternal. And you can have so many things, and you can just be wondering, why am I not happy? What's the deal here? And then you lose some things, and you wonder, why did I lose them? And then we get to depending on things, and usually by the time we're about 18, 20 years old, we think that that's all life is. Get things. Get all you can and can all you can get. And I'm not opposed to any of that, but none of that will touch you where God would like to touch you tonight. Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I'm going to show you in the next few minutes that Jesus Christ and his life is the hidden manna that's spoken of. I'm going to tie just a few thoughts together, and we're just going to have a marvelous time. We're going to have a wonderful communion. The hidden manna has to do with communion also. And so let me just take these thoughts a little bit further. Jesus said in John chapter 6, whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and they'll never be thirsty. And that was one of the themes of the New Testament and the four Gospels, and what Jesus had. You know, the priests and the Herod and Pilate, they're wondering, what does this person offering us? I mean, they couldn't get it. He did miracles. His disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? We're going to talk about that man. Anybody that comes to me, if you come to Christ and you get what I got 50 years ago in the summer of 1971, which is free to everybody, I have never once thought to show the comparison. I was a young person. I was raised in the street gangs of Chicago. I went to San Jose, California, joined the motorcycle gangs of San Jose, California, was a rock musician, was a typical kid of my generation. And they told me that if I would do this, this, and this, I could have anything I wanted. I could have all of the things that life offers. And what I found is, none of those things gave me peace, nor joy, nor direction for my life. In fact, what happened is I opened myself up to bad things. I became demonized, suicidal, fearful, hateful, on the wrong track. And God took a hold of me and began to change me. But I'm going to take just a few more minutes here and try to teach you. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry and never be thirsty. Whoever comes to Jesus will have a daily revelation of his plan for your life. By plan, I mean the direction of your life, the fellowship with the Lord. All the things that has really counted to me. I was watching Maury today, and I noticed there were people there. They're all broken up because they wanted to know who their father was or their mother was. And I certainly don't want to brag about having a terrible life, but mine was terrible. But the day that I met Jesus Christ, I never thought about that stuff anymore. And I became blessed. I was taken and brought into God's family. And he began to change me one day at a time and still is doing that. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6, I use these words in communion all the time, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You cannot be part of my covenant, my program, my plan, what I'm doing. And he was talking about something that was so revolutionary that the best teachers, Nicodemus, being one of them, they couldn't make it out. And they begin to say, though, where does the Christ going to come from? And they discovered it was Nazareth. And what about this and what about that? And they said, this man speaks of things. And they took note that Jesus, when he spoke as one that had authority. He didn't speak like a philosopher or a spectator. He was it. And when he told demons to leave, they got gone. When he told sickness to leave, it got gone. And he gave you and I the power to do that. And we have seen many miracles in this house for many, 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 many years. Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Every one of you, drink of the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And there is a spiritual experience of power and cleansing and help when you take communion knowing what you're doing. The woman that met Jesus in John chapter 4, he said to her, get me some water from the well. And she went ahead and did that. And she began to talk with him. And he said, I have water for you, living water. And if you drink of this water, you'll never be thirsty again. And she said, sir, give me some of this water so that I don't have to come here anymore. He was talking about an experience that she could have of being born again, offered to every person on the planet, even people you don't like, even people that don't like you. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved and have a new life, a meaningful life, where you make choices that are the right choices for you. God has a right choice for you in every part of your life. The right relationships and vocation, jobs, places to live, places to go, everything. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I would like to us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And I'm going to continue with my thought. I will give you, if you overcome, I will give you some of the hidden manna. And well, hidden, what does that mean? Hidden. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, the word says this. If our gospel is hid, I'm talking about the hidden manna. If our gospel is hid, it is hid from those that are lost. Jesus said few people would find, relatively few, would find the road. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Few that be that find it, that leads to eternal life. But broad is the way that leads to destruction and loss of life at the end of life. Straight is the gate. few there be that find it. And the few that find it are the ones that are hooked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're learning what it means to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. They're involved with that. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost, because or in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that don't believe, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. There are 7.5 billion people on the earth right now. There is a great harvest that's going to come. You take in the thought, well, straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few there be, but few of 7.5 billion right now, what if 10% of the world population got saved? You know how many souls that would be added to the kingdom of God? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If you believe in God, believe also in me. If I go away, I'm going to come back and get you, because I go away to prepare a place for you. That's what the Lord's done for you and doing for you. And you have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. Thank you, God. If our gospel is hid, I'm going to give you the hidden manna. If our gospel is hid, if our gospel is hid, I want that hidden manna. That hidden manna is to those that fight on through. They meet Christ. He becomes a part of their life. You become a child of the living God. And you're receiving his daily bread. And it's not anything that will feed your soul, your spirit, your flesh. Do we need cars? I think I do. We need food, yes. Could go on and on about things. But all of these have to do with the five senses, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where we all got messed up at the beginning of this thing. And our parents, Adam and Eve, that DNA, that just came into us. That curse, that failure came into us. The day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And when you're born to die. You start dying. They tell me, explain it to me. But when you're born again, you begin to live, and you never die. To be absent in the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says, when a person passes from this life, their body goes back into the earth, into the dust, and their spirit goes back to the one who gave it for final preparation for whichever way we go. Now, how important is this? I'm going to tell you something. To me, it's very important. No amount of earthly food can reveal the things, the hidden manna that Jesus is talking about. And I'm going to show you just two more verses, and then we're going to be through here in just a minute. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading from verse 9, 10, and 11. And just follow with me here or however. And this is where Jesus is teaching people how to pray. The disciples said, Jesus, John the Baptist's disciples, John taught them how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. He is not talking about food or houses or cars. There is fresh manna. Jesus said, I'm the manna that fell down from heaven. I am the bread of life. I am the way and the truth of the, and the life. On my good days, and I've had many of them, I get direction from God. And many times it goes exactly against something else I might have planned. And I've learned to choose and to be with God. I've learned to start my days letting him know that's what I want. I want your daily bread. That prayer is full of power. Millie's doing a study on the Lord's Prayer. Real deep. It sounds real good. And she's getting some great things out of it. But what you want, what is this all about? 60, 70 churches in our community. None of them full. What is that? What is it that they're offering? What is it they're saying? I can tell you this church, I can't speak for others. We know what we're imparting. The new life, the new birth, to be a child of God. To when you leave here, to go to heaven. And while you're here, you can lead extremely successful lives. The Bible talks about so many things, finances and being debt-free. This church is debt-free. We started it that way, and that's just the way it is. Blessings come to us, and we give them away as fast as they come in. But that's what's being offered, no matter what church. And you can be a Catholic. You can be a Methodist or a Baptist or Assembly. It doesn't matter. But you want to be born again. And you can get direction. If you're comfortable in a church, any church, and you're serving God and you're getting that daily bread, you're on your way. And don't ever let anyone tell you that one church has it all. Oh, we got it all. We got the biggest youth group. We got all the glory. We got all this and that. That's just not true. The word says, the eye cannot say to the ear, I don't need you. See, if you're a believer, it doesn't really matter what church you go to. We need one another. And we have to start acting like that. That starts here at this church. That's what you're going to hear here. You're not going to hear divisive messages that are going to turn you on people. No, we're part of the body. We're part of the body. And God, the word says this, has placed each person in the church as it pleases him. God has a church for every born-again person. And Satan has a church for everybody else, to cause trouble, confusion, to go in there and mess up other people. But my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And Jesus, a daily life with him, with the Creator God leading you. I would like to die when I'm supposed to, even if it was yesterday, if that's God's plan for my life. But you know how many people die and they're not in God's plan? The Bible talks about people that don't know the Lord, not even living out half of their days. The Bible says that people that are strong in the Lord, God can add years sometimes to their life. Now, I don't mean anything disrespectful, but I love being here. But I'm ready to go. 6 months after I got saved, I was ready to go. Because I was a blown-out mess. And in 6 months, the Lord did so much work in my life. Last place tonight I'm going to turn is the book of John, chapter 1. And we'll just kind of hit some of them verses that are important. And this place where we're going is a description of Jesus. And this is what it says. In the beginning, at creation time, not the beginning of Jesus and God, the Father, there is no beginning of them. But in the beginning of this earth and this dispensation, what God is doing, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. They're talking about Jesus Christ here. And without him was not anything made that was made. Let me have the rest of those verses, please, that go all the way to verse 11. In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehend not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Rest of those verses, please. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. I'm talking about Jesus. He was not, that was talking about John the Baptist. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was John the Baptist. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Last verses, please. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Final verse 12, please. But as many as received Christ, have you received Christ, or have you just been a church attender? Have you just signed some roll book that doesn't mean anything, or are you a child of God? Have you received Christ as the life-changing force in your life is what I'm asking. And I'm not doubting. I'm just preaching the gospel to everybody and anybody that will listen. But as many as received Christ, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believing on his name means that you are daily seeking his will and his direction. My Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me my trespasses. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. So on and so forth. You're saying, I want you to be my Father every day. I was very broken with my family upbringing. But God the Father changed all of that. Let's think about these things, and let's make an altar or come to the altar. We're about to take communion where there's great power if you know what you're doing. Have a talk with Jesus, everybody.